Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what to do.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right.
Oh,
why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my mind? Said we'd be forever. Said it never died.
My favorite white boy, right? I owe you for this one.
I've been patiently waiting for a track to explode on. Yeah. It's done if you want, and your ass to get rolled on. It feels like my flow's been hot for so long. Yeah. You thinking I'ma fucking fall off? You're so wrong.
I'm medicine in my head, like a baby bone dead. Destination heaven. Sitting politics with passengers for 9/11. The Lord's blessings leave me lyrically inclined. Shit, I ain't even got to try to shine. Guards and seamstress, the tailor fitted my pain. I got scriptures in my brain, I can spit at your dame. Straight out the good book. Look, niggas is shook. 50 fear, no man, warrior. Swing swords like Conan. Picture me, pen and hand, write lines, knowing the source of quoted. When I die, they'll read this and say a genius wrote it. I grew up without my pop, should that make me bitter? I cook cases, I cop doctors, that make.
What's going on, Big Rick?
Ain't nothing crazy, no. Can't wait till Sunday. So glad it's Wednesday. So, yeah, this week's kind of going by kind of fast.
Hump day.
Yeah. Yo, hey, friends, I was seeing something on Twitter now, and I just seen that. Y'all, I think you guys are expecting like 1 or 2 inches. And they talking about the state of emergency.
Oh, that's for the upper part of Georgia. It's already snowing up there. It's called Blue Ridge. I mean,
come
it's
on,
about
man.
3 hours away from us. Dude, we don't have salt trucks. What are you going to do? Like, for real, man. Like, y'all heard what happened a couple of years ago when we had that
okay.
Stuff.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just a
buses overnight. It's a state of an emergency.
I'm saying, what's the excuses now, though, friends? I mean, okay, that
it's
happened.
It's all about, Rick, it's all about money. So for every last year didn't do it. That was 2 years ago. So we're gonna invest investing $16 million for something that happens every 5 years. Ah, it's not
okay, so you're
just
gonna shut down the thing. Isn't that losing money too?
No.
Come on,
home. and then they make it up the next day anyways because they've been stuck in their house for a day. So people are like, oh, I gotta get out. And you don't understand. When they shut down from a dusting or ice, your Walmart is empty. Yo, it's no water, it's no bread. I'm telling you. That's how serious it is here.
You said what happened?
They go clean Walmart out.
Yeah,
they
okay,
buy all
friend.
The water, they buy all the bread. So
yeah, great. Okay, this is what I don't get, though, for instance. When there's a state of emergency, why the hell is always the milk, the eggs, and the bread always be the first thing gone? I'm like, what the hell is it?
I don't know. Me, I agree with you. I'm grabbing some steak. I'm not going to be eating cereal and milk for 3 days. I can maybe see the water, but
yeah.
What are you gonna do with milk? That I don't know. It's crazy.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. Like when you hear that state of emergency, you see everybody gearing up for the storm. It's like, all right, you know, people gonna be in the house maybe, you know, a day. But the thing about it is that they take it like they're gonna be locked in the house for 2 weeks.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. like they could have went grocery shopping on Saturday. It's on Monday, but they still go and spend an extra $100 Milk, bread, and eggs.
Yeah, like you go into the store and you look at it and you're just like, man, I want some hamburgers today, but damn, the shelf is gone. There's nothing on it. And it's like people packing like the storm is going to keep us bunkered down for weeks and weeks. And this is it. And this is the last of, there ain't nothing coming tomorrow. This is it. So that's why I'm just confused.
Well, that time that we had that storm maybe three years ago, it was crazy because it was like they said, it was more of the ice, and our temperature did not get under above 30 for the ice and snow. And so people are going crazy. Are you from the north? You should know how to drive on ice. I said, dude, I know people up north that can't drive on ice. Driving on ice is totally different. I said, driving during snow is totally different than driving on ice. I said, what happens back home is they have salt trucks that throw salt on ice that melts it periodically through the storm, during the storm, before and after the storm.
Before, definitely.
I said, you can't drive on ice, dummy. I said, no, nobody can.
So we found out the hard way that you can't drive on ice.
No, definitely. I mean, I understand. I understand. I'm just saying, I just thought that maybe had been some precautions to say, okay, you got hit with something. There's the fact that it could happen. So maybe next time we'll be prepared a little bit. I ain't saying like the main. I'm saying at least the main roads and the highways or something at least.
But see, that's what's it. The area that is snowing in, Rick, is called. It's like the country.
Okay. Yeah, no. I'm saying no. They, you know, they're the country, so you know, they ain't
it's
really
not,
like.
Yeah, it's not Atlanta wise, and then they want Atlanta to spend the money on it, and then you know, if Savannah needs or somebody, they just come and borrow the trucks, you know, at cost. It's like no, you pay for it. So it's just all about business and politics and politics and business and back and forth. So I mean, it is what it is. Plus, we like it, you know. Wife gets to stay home, kids, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to go anywhere, state of emergency, you know, you look outside, it ain't nothing. So, you don't.
Nah, definitely. Yeah. We didn't have one on Sunday, but, you know, this weekend...
First, before we go on, we want to pay respect to Martin Luther King Day. We missed it.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of stuff going on. Great man, you know. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know if we'd be able to look at football like we're looking at it now.
Pay
much respect to Martin Luther King on his birthday. And we all celebrated according to how we felt it needed to be celebrated.
Yeah, he gave me a day off, so...
Yeah.
Hey.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You know, we had a couple games last week. You had the Patriots going against KC. You also had Denver and Pittsburgh. We had Carolina and Seattle, and you had the Cardinals and the Packers. It seems though that I was wrong about just the Seahawks game because I was just kind of surprised about how they came out
wrong
to play. It was just kind of just like, and I think that it was a detriment to them because they played at 10 o'clock. Didn't they play that at 10 o'clock and. I don't know. It seems though that alarm clock on that team didn't, you know, buzz off. It didn't go off until, you know, the second half.
I wouldn't give them all that second half. You're dealing with a team that, I mean, let's just, you know, not give up this and, you know, not get injured and don't overexert yourself. We got a 31-point cushion. I mean, come on, they were on Russell Wilson, like his first pick six. I mean, he was on his way down, you know.
No, definitely. I just look at a Seattle team that just looked like, and they just came out flat, and that was just like surprising to me. That it was just like, whoa, this is the playoffs, you know.
Yeah, but don't forget. But don't forget, came out flat last year with Green Bay. Green Bay just gave him that game.
No, no. Yo, oh, yeah, definitely. No,
and
yeah,
I just think their luck ran out. Remember, I asked you last week, do we think, you know, do we consider them lucky because of the missed field goal? Last year they were down, like the way they were down, and, you know, and Green Bay just fell apart, mismanaging the clock, doing a lot of other stuff, and then they lost. So I'm like, I don't know how lucky you can be, taking big breaks off. And they've done that a lot. They've taken breaks off, and the teams have let them back in. And I know the body clock is different, and I know going back they'll probably do it over and come down to the East Coast earlier. But the only difference is they've done this the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, and I'm just looking at the game plan. It seems, though, that they were kind of go to Marshawn Lynch a little bit too much too early rather than telling him, like, no, you're going to fit into our style now. They try to implement him into the offense and try to fit in around him at first in the first half. Where I think that they should have just said, you know what, we're going to do what got us here. We got hot and we went on that win streak and we turned into a dangerous team. So we're going to do it the way we want to do it. And I saw that in the second half. Granted, yes, Frizz, they had a 31-point cushion. And, you know, the Panthers had their own, you know, 31-point cushion. So, you know, they might have kind of scaled it back and whatnot. But the only thing that I would say to Carolina is that this is the playoffs, and you can't be doing that. Because, honestly, if I was a Carolina fan, I'd be kind of nervous as far as with the team because it's just like, yo, we didn't do nothing that second half. If Seattle did one thing, Frizz, if they kick one field goal in that first half, they're driving down that field. They had the ball with, like, what, 4 minutes left, and they kicked the field goal trying to get the onside kick. But if they kick a field goal in the first half, I think they missed two, although they had a fourth down. They turned it over on downs, and then they missed the field goal at the end of the first. I mean, you know, the first half. If they make that first, you're talking about a Seattle team coming down to score, you tie the game. So I'm just saying, though, that's something to alarm as far as going forward versus a team like Arizona or ultimately in the Super Bowl is that you ain't going to get up 31 to zip on some teams, and you can't. And that's been happening to them a couple towards the end of the season. You know, the Giants came back and tied it up with them.
Oh, I agree.
They've got to look and correct that issue.
No, I agree with you on their part, too, about, you know, I mean, just feeling the deal. You know,
mm-hmm.
Just. I mean, you got them against the rope.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was score one touchdown that second.
Yeah.
Like probably go down the field, take about 6 minutes off the clock,
mm-hmm.
and score a touchdown, and now and we'll be talking totally different because that just would have took the wind out of them.
Yes.
And young team, not being in that position before.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with experience, you know. So, in hindsight, like you said, they did it. The difference what people are looking at Carolina is maybe 2 years ago, like you said, they would allow the teams to come back and they'd fall apart. They giving them a credit because they stuck in there and won the game. Now, the difference upon being elite is when you get those opportunities, you get those chances, you go up that way, you basically rock them to sleep in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And that, you know, for us looking at that score, it should have been, you know, 45.
Easy.
You know, they should have got
easy.
At least 10 points.
Even if you could kick 3 field goals.
Yeah, exactly. It's more so like I'm just looking at it and it's just like in hindsight. I mean, granted, I'm just saying. You look at a team like Seattle, if they did something, if they scored a touchdown, they kicked the field goal in that first half, they are still in that game because Carolina, I mean, even Cam said that what they played with their butts tight. And that's going to be a thing with Carolina is, as you look in the playoffs, not a lot of games are going to be, you're not going to be up 35 to zip on people and just be
right.
Chill. you know, Rock, it's going to be that game where it's going to be 14-17. You know, the score is going to be 21.
It's going to be that game where it's 6-3. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
of course,
there you go.
Where it's 28-28. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just got two power offense that just can't
mm-hmm.
be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, and it's just really crazy because I did not expect them to just falter like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, no, I mean, yeah, it was definitely shot. I mean, I looked at that game, and if you look at them, you know, it's been a heavyweight battle every time that they want to get to each other. Besides a couple times, I think there's, like, been four of their last five games were decided by five or less points. So, you know, it was definitely, you know, it was something definitely that I looked at, you know, I thought it was going to be a slugfest. It was going to go, it may have been like a 10-17 type of game, but they jumped on them early, and I'm just like, wow, you know.
They jumped over them like a pit bull. Like before they could do anything, they looked up, and I don't know. I just it was funny because like I said last week, it's just that I don't know, something just was in me with Seattle, and it's like, you know, you almost even shouldn't have been here because how you just barely won in Minnesota. It's just like, you know?
I mean, you hit it on that earlier. So you looked at it and you said, you know, they just been a team. I mean, I can't blame the four of those prisoners because.
No, not at all.
Not blaming them,
but it's like sooner or later, it's like, dude, you got to be that great team. I mean, if you're going about dynasty, and only mention it that because how long they've been. I mean, this would have been the third consecutive year they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, if I keep going on their whole resume, so and looking at that, it's like, okay, when are you going to be that elite team where you can go into any atmosphere? And it has to do probably with coaching. I don't know, but preparation. But when you go into any atmosphere, oh, it's 4 degrees. I guess Brady and them are used to playing in 4 degree weather. Or you go back in the days when you had the Broncos with John Elway, you had Terrell Davis, you had those dynasties. If you deal with the Redskins or the Cowboys in the 90s, where you're dealing with like, the Patriots of now, it's like we got to go in and we got to handle business.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? We knew already a week ahead of time what the temperature was going to be. Freeze the balls. That's how we're going to practice.
So, yeah, no, definitely. And Prince, just from their standpoint of them knowing that, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a 1 o'clock game. Maybe we'll take the players out of the element. You know what? You guys, we're going to come on Wednesday. We're going to come. Whatever time, and we're going to have practice we're going to get up early, we're going to have practice at this X amount of time, so you don't find your team lulling to sleep.
Right.
And look what happens, friends. This team looked like they were sleepwalking through the game. And I mean, granted, it wasn't a game that we thought it was going to be, and it was kind of like, you know, shocking. It kind of was a follow-up to that game that was in, we were going to talk about the Cardinals and the Packers. And it was just, and that game, the ending of that game was just fantastic. As you looked at it, it kept you on the edge of the seat. It had that wow factor. And it had you, you know, the whole game, like, you know, basically it showed you, for instance, this is playoff football. You know, I think the Cardinals and the Packers played, what, 2 weeks ago? And that game was a blowout.
Right.
So, and I think it was like 52-something. It was just like, it was something crazy. They beat it by like 30 points. And so you look at this game and you're just like, oh, they're about to run away with this. And no, the Packers came to play, and I give them credit. Carson Palmer, I think this was his first playoff game.
First playoff win.
He looked like he had a little Cincinnati Bengals in him that he was just trying to give them the game away.
You know what it is? This is how I look at it. You're dealing with a quarterback. You can't, to me, in the same breath, you can't say that Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today and not expect him to go down without fighting, regardless of who you put in there. So that's why I can't understand, like, you know, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. It doesn't matter what personnel you bring in there. He's going to try and get the best out of you as much as possible with what he has because of his elite level. So
yeah.
I did not expect him just to bow down. I did not expect the game to be that close, though, to be honest. Arizona last few weeks, it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a lack of confidence. But what I've seen 4 weeks ago, I'm just not seeing the last week.
No, you know, definitely. You have to wonder as well as far as there's some play calling with Bruce Arians. I understand being aggressive, but sometimes you got to be smart. I think with a little bit under 2 minutes to go in the game, Packers waste all their time out. Instead of running the ball, you throw the ball, and he throws the ball that's out of bounds. So you know what happens when you throw the ball that's out of bounds? That's incompletion. The clock stops. And now the third down, you run the ball, and you run it to, you know, 2 minute warning when you can see Green Bay, the clock with like a minute 20 to go, and they got to score a touchdown. They got driving on you 80 yards to score a touchdown. And you have one of the best defenses in football. So you look at your defense and say, you know what, we're going to run the ball two times. We'll give them the ball with a little bit over 60 seconds to go, and y'all just hold them, and that's it. And what happened first? They didn't do that. They gave them when they were like with 2 minutes to go in the game or a little bit under 2 minutes, and they gave Aaron Rodgers, you know, a chance. And granted, he made two hell of a plays. That fourth and 20 was just, from his own end zone, was just kind of just mind-boggling. And then him just to complete that Hail Mary at the end of the game was just kind of insane itself. You know, both of those plays were just insane.
Well, one, to complete a Hail Mary in your career one time. But to complete a Hail Mary two times in one season?
Yeah.
I mean, to either tie or win the game? Come on, that's like, I don't know. I don't know if that can ever go on. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers earned my respect. They talked about him a lot of times, said this, but, you know, I'm that type of guy, just like, you know, you were the type of person that, yeah, you just can't keep talking me to death. I have to see it. It's like y'all awarded everything to each player before he's ever even did anything. But, you know, gutsy play in his own end zone. I mean, to put the team on your back. I mean, don't forget, they're down at two wide receivers. Of course, Jordy Nelson hurt at the beginning of the season, and then Randall Cobb goes down, so they don't have Cobb either. And whatever this other guy's name is,
Janice.
I mean, this guy steps up. Well, he caught two passes all season.
it was just something definitely out of this world. It was, just like you said, Fritz, it's one thing to do it in, you know, one game in a season, but just to do it, you know, twice. And then it's kind of like he did it twice in the season. It was just kind of just like, in that game, it was kind of just like that aspect of it because he got down. No, they got down, and he did that fourth and 20 play was just out of this world as well. And then you just kind of wonder, the Cardinals, and that's another thing with their play calling is, why are you sending the house? Get everyone back and bat that ball down. Put Michael Floyd out there. Put Larry Fitzgerald out there and tell them, and put each side and tell them to bat the ball down. I mean, that's something as far as just like play calling and clearly, yes, they got lucky, but what if that score, one thing was only by a field goal for this. You know, one thing was only about that, and that's a caution game.
But
this is
double negative. Not what you said, basically a double negative, but that's what people have been commentating before, is why do you rush two or three, drop everybody back, put pressure on the quarterback. Don't let him roll out and get a quick release because anything can happen. So, I mean, before they got everybody back when he made that catch, when Rodgers made that catch from Rodgers before, so.
It was, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was the Lions who finished like 6-10. You know what I'm saying?
That's almost like a routine. Everybody knows how to do that. Come on, you're dealing with like the best of the best at this
point. Yeah, and there's some people that are just better than other people. And the Cardinals have one of the best secondaries. And I just don't think that you just go full out blitz and just leave, you know, just drop back four. I'm just saying, there's a couple things on it, you know, just questionable. But, I mean, that game was just, and then in the overtime, I mean, how can you not root for somebody like Larry Fitzgerald? That play that he had, I mean, he caught the ball, you know, Carson Palmer made a hell of a play. And Fitzgerald catches that ball, and just, you could just see the determination that was on his, and, I mean, you probably couldn't see his eyes, but, you know, you probably imagine seeing his eyes. He was determined he was going to score that touchdown.
The biggest thing about it, that, not to cut you off, is nobody told Green Bay that he wasn't going to run out of bounds. Green Bay thought that, okay, Larry Fitzgerald caught the ball, caught a little 15-yard pass, and he's just going to run it out of bounds. Larry Fitzgerald turned upfield, and they're like, what are you doing, dude? They're looking at him like, are you serious? This wasn't what we agreed upon. I'm looking at him like, are y'all really just going to let him run all over you like that?
That's what I'm saying. But he turned upfield, and he looked like a man that was possessed. And, you know, you could see it. He's been in the league how long?
And hopefully that could fuel their offense from a Larry Fitzgerald type player to say, you know, I've been here before. I know this environment. I know what it takes for us to go over the top. And, you know, everybody got to be making plays like this. Everybody got to be determined that it's either Super Bowl or bust. It's either win this game or bust. We're not kicking a field goal, and we're not letting Aaron Rodgers touch this ball again.
Nope.
That's basically what he was saying, you know, because it shouldn't have been that close in the first place. If you know, and being now with what he's almost like with the third string, well not third string, but the third option wide receiver. Imagine that, Larry Fitzgerald is your third option wide receiver.
Because I don't know, he may be up there as far as being dependable. I'm not sure. He may be.
I'm not saying he's not dependable, but. With the Michael Floyd and the other guy they have that they use,
Brown.
You know, yeah, they kind of stick Fitzgerald in the slot. And I'm just talking about not being talked about as much and as he's changed his role. But imagine that's like your third option, Larry Fitzgerald. Well, if my other two guys are not open, I can dump it off to Larry Fitzgerald for 10 yards and he'll get 70.
I just understand. That's, you know, his aspect of it, when you look at it, it's kind of banal because you're just like, wow, that's Larry Fitzgerald. And you're just like, are you serious? But he proved that he still got it, and that play right there alone just showed me. It was like, whoa, he wants it. And he ended up getting the shovel pass, and he got that, and he fought into the end zone, and they got the touchdown. I mean, that propelled them. So, I mean, later on, we know we'll definitely discuss, you know, that matchup between them and Carolina. But then also, too, that you have New England people. I mean, I would just laugh at all these people that was, for his own, the Kansas City Chiefs had X amount of wins in a row. They were this great powerhouse team. I mean,
they were.
I told you before, they ain't played nobody.
That still was remarkable.
They didn't play nobody.
Yes, they did.
They didn't beat. They had to beat the Texans to get to the second round. Come on, man. No, I mean, I'm not gonna say, oh, this and that. But I'm just saying, I just was just confused. I like, you know, people want to to dethrone the Patriots so bad that they're just like, okay, yes, we're going to jump on this narrative. And let's not take our smarts away. And it's like, come on, Patriots at home in the playoffs, come on, like, that's not, I mean, that's definitely not a, I mean, I don't know how you can go and, you know, pick against them, you know, especially that. But, Prince, the end of the game, the Chiefs get the ball, I think it's a 2 minutes and 40-something seconds or around that. Prince, they score. They get the ball, and they get around the one-yard line. Prince, they don't score until a minute and 20 seconds left. What the hell would happen?
You heard what he said. He said he did not want to give the ball back to Tom Brady.
The fridge is down by 2 touchdowns.
That's what his excuse was. So that's what I got to go on. He did not want to give the ball back to Tom Brady.
So does this fall back and you look at Andy Reid and you look at back at that Super Bowl? When,
absolutely.
When Donovan McNabb was puking in the, you know, they said he was puking in the huddle, but you said, hurry up, and they're huddling. You're like, what the hell are you doing? Hurry up. And
yeah.
That makes the shades of that. I mean, that's what brought me back.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that means,
that's the first thing I thought about, and that's the first thing everybody thought about with Andy Reid. I mean, you go right back to the situation with Donovan McNabb, and a few times that he was with the Eagles that, you know, going down the stretch, poor play calling, with the 2 minute warning, maybe, I don't know, it could be an NFC East thing with all of them, Coughlin, you know. 2 minutes, they just get scared. Like, y'all don't practice this?
Yeah,
and it's not like Alex Smith, it's not like you're a newbie. I mean, take over.
Yeah. Nah, definitely. And that's what I was just confused about. So Yeah, okay, you don't want to give Tom Brady the ball back in more than enough time. How about you trusting your defense that they can stop them and give you guys the ball back with some time so you can be able to get a quick score? Or you can
come on,
they
weren't going to stop Brady. And
definitely. But first, I got a theory that people keep throwing out. Like, you know, they said, you know how you beat Tom Brady? Is that you control the clock. You keep it out of his hands.
Absolutely.
The Chiefs had the ball for 37 minutes of that game, Prince.
Huh?
The Chiefs had the ball for 37 minutes of that game.
That was still not enough.
The Patriots had the ball for 23 minutes.
Yeah, but but it's a difference. You control, you do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Yeah. Like the biggest time, if you really want to go, remember last year when I was talking about when I was high up on the Cowboys. Remember,
yep.
They controlled the clock and they basically just ran it. They controlled the clock, but they were scoring touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a difference when you're scoring touchdowns and then you're playing a little bit of defense.
Okay.
I don't know what Kansas City was kind of doing. But then again, you know, it's so hard with the Patriots.
Yeah,
you need to just stop talking about it. Like, when I'm listening to sports radio, they keep trying to die. Yo, stop. It's just ridiculous. He gets rid of the ball and, like, he goes to 3 different reads in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You can't defend that. It's just too hard to defend. The best thing you could do is try and keep everything in front of you.
Mm-hmm. And tackle.
And tackle, right.
Mm-hmm.
To eliminate the 4-yard passes that ends up being that Edelman gets another 6 yards and stretching first down.
Yep.
You know, that's what you got to try and eliminate, and then stop losing Gronk. He's a big, the big bear out there, and he's wide open. How
did you see that second touchdown that he had?
Yes. How do you lose anybody? You might let Amendola sneak by you because he's smaller, but you can't lose Gronk.
But Prince, isn't that the way to set you up as far as in? I think that they say that the Patriots don't have, like, you know, a running game, And it's crazy. There's a stat out there that's like the NFL was like 6-140 something when they run the ball, when they pass the ball over 70% of the time. And Tom Brady is like, he's like ridiculous in that stat. And I think that that quick passing game is kind of like no, I remember you alluded to it before, but it's kind of substitute for the run game.
It is.
And I think that him, the quick pass that he, you know, they ready for him to get the ball out in 2 seconds, and I think Eric Berry bit on it because he's like, okay, he's going to throw it to Gronk. And Brady, it was kind of like, you know, like kind of like the play action, and he got, that's how he got open. And I think that's the way that it works. I think that's what happened.
I do get it, and this is me even in the middle of the season. It's like you know how I was with what my team was going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why can't you just get rid of the ball quick?
Yeah.
It's 3, 4, or 5 yards. Let the guys do the rest of the work, you know.
Yeah.
But not these stupid dinks. Or see when they was giving Wheaton stats, it's because they rushed the ball, they ran the ball 2 times, and it's 3rd and 12, and you throw the ball 5 yards. No, I'm talking about throw the ball 5 yards the first time, then run the ball, maybe you get 3, then throw it 3 yards. You get what I'm saying? Then that's when you loosen them up, and then you can let it go. Then you give them a pump fake, like a play action. Safety bites, corner bites, dude goes by, double move, wide open. And
it's
all about, I mean, it's all Tom Brady and coaching. You know, it's the time that they spend preparing for the next game.
Yeah, no, definitely. no, definitely, though, Frizz. And also, too, though, Frizz, is I looked at another ass. I mean, you know, go to the Denver game. And one thing I'd ask you for is the NFL, we have Jim Nance and Phil Simms doing the Super Bowl, and I'm just like, I'm just trying to find out if I can some way play the radio in my crib because they are terrible, friends. The way that you listen to them call the game, you know, CBS, the way they call the game, it sounds so bad. The excuse making that they give, you know, players and things like that. And it seems though it's like, okay, you know, Big Ben, you know, he had a hell of a game. And you talk about Ben, he's out there playing with, you know, an AC joint in his shoulder. And there's no, I don't hear the, I didn't see the win affected him, friends.
Yeah.
It seems though that, like, you know, it's always a, it's, I mean, granted, you know, maybe if they just, I'm not trying to hear, it's not a bad Peyton Manning or anything, but it's just like the excuse making that we just give up for Peyton Manning. It was just like, and it's just like, oh, all the drop passes. I mean, me being a Red Sox fan, with Tim Wakefield back in the day, used to have the pitch, they used to have to get a special catcher for him. Because not everybody can catch that knuckleball. And that's what's happening to these receivers. They're looking at that knuckleball that's coming out of Peyton's hand, and they can't catch it. That's the problem. So that's why you have all these drop passes. And
I'm not buying that, man. No, I'm not buying that. Your first thing is you wash the ball into your eyes. You wash the ball into your hands.
Yeah.
And Thomas, he drops balls all the time. He led the league in drop balls. Well, Oswald.
Yeah, I think it's time for us to move him down that list. Top tier wide out in the game, though.
It's cool now. Didn't he already get his money?
Yeah, definitely. He got his
money. At this point, he's like, call me whatever you want. I'm getting paid. And I go to any other team and they'll take me.
Definitely. He's definitely like that. No, I mean, I understand. I think it's a combination of both. Granted, yes, they may have been peeking up field. The thing wasn't run after the catch. I mean, I think it's kind of a combination of both.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Peyton Manning's balls were looking great, but they did not help him either. That game should not have been as close as it was with all the drop passes and things going on. And it left up – of course, their defense carried them all year round. But, see, and this is one thing I meant to tell you earlier this week. See, Pac-Man Jones didn't mean to say that – Brown was faking. He was saying Big Ben was faking.
Come on, man.
No, I'm just joking. Because you see the first pass Big Ben threw? I was like, his arm's not hurt. There's nothing wrong with that dude's shoulder. He lost the ball like 60 yards down the field.
No, definitely. And also, I mean, it's gritty. You know, it sucks that stuff like that happens, but this is like, football is a game of attrition. I mean, you look at it, you're like, damn, you wish you had someone like Brian out there. But, you know, it's a game of attrition. It's who, you know, it's not about who's the best team. You know, sometimes it's not about who's the best team at the end of the season, friends. It's about who's the most healthiest team.
Right,
at the end of the season,
right.
And that's what happened.
We talked about that. And at the end of the day, Patriots trying to go undefeated is stupid when you're just dismantled like the way you were. Hold on, let people come back, and then let's see how we spar off in the playoffs once we're up to full fledged. You know, it's like when you go out for a fight and your boys is not with you. You know, why don't you catch me when Edelman's back and Mark's healthy and he's strapped up. You know what I'm saying? Catch me out then, and let's have this fight then.
Definitely. And, yeah, you look at aspects of that. And, I mean, definitely, we're going to get back and review, talk about, these Sunday games, get our predictions and things like that. But, friends, speaking of Martin Luther King Day, you know, big matchup, finals rematch.
I know you're going there, and I told you guys. It doesn't matter who Cleveland plays, they are not going to win a championship against Golden State or San Antonio, and I don't think they'll be OKC.
Okay, that's what I was alluding to. Yeah, you've seen the game on Sunday. And wow, Fred.
They got embarrassed.
What the hell happened? You just see that game, you're just like, whoa. They went into their house and whooped their ass.
Yo, like they stole something from them. Like they called their mother. You know what I'm saying? Like they were talking about their mother. And this is what I was talking to somebody about breaking it down. Okay, when you're looking at Golden State, you got Draymond Green, which is like a LeBron James. Not as explosive. Don't give me that. Just won't take over a game like that. But at the end of the day,
His game, I mean, okay, no, not like LeBron, but his game has went to that next level where you're like, whoa.
No, but absolutely. but let me finish.
Okay.
He's so quiet. Well, he'll end up giving you 18 points, 13 rebounds, 9, 10 assists.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that's the performance you're getting out of from LeBron. But from everybody else, meanwhile, Golden State, you got Steph Curry dropping 38, 35. You got Klay Thompson dropping 20-something. You know what I'm saying? You got Livingston coming off the bench doing his work. So that's the difference when you're going on. When you got Cleveland, see, it don't matter wherever LeBron went. It's like almost like they're still building the same type of team. This is a team from Miami. And I'm tired of people talking about when Kyrie Irving gets healthy. I like Kyrie Irving, but for his whole career, he's always been injured. So we've been waiting for him to be healthy before LeBron got there.
Yes.
Coach K is still waiting for him to get healthy.
Stop with that.
This is what when I talk to people about. They're like, oh, Miami. I said, Dwayne Wade did more than what y'all thought in Miami.
Yeah.
Stop that. The dude won an NBA championship almost by himself. Against Dallas. I said he knows what to do to win. When LeBron goes out, he knows how to take over a game. He knows how to include people in. He's been doing that since he's been in college.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he took Marquette to the Final Four, like,
right.
People don't realize Dwayne Wade had that DNA of a winner inside him already. And LeBron went. I think LeBron went with him to finally know how to get that killer instinct as far as him to win. And to see how Dwayne Wade prepares each and every day to get ready for games throughout the whole stretch of the season. And LeBron learned from him. And granted, yes, you know, eventually LeBron took that torch from him, but he doesn't have that with Kevin Love, who plays, quite frankly, they're still talking about how the hell to use him. They're saying, oh, we don't know. Like, it's been a year and a half. Like, are we kidding ourselves now? Why? What is going on in Cleveland? Why do you guys still don't know how to use Kevin Love? How did that happen?
He's a liability on defense.
He's, you know, and they don't know how to use him on offense. And he just gets lost, and you just don't know what to do because there's a difference between a boss. At least a boss, he was long enough, and he could be somewhat of an asset on defense. But Kevin Love, you put him to pick and roll, it's over.
Right.
So I'm just like you said, Fritz, we've been waiting for Kyrie to get healthy since Duke. People forget that he was gone. Basically, he played 8 games in college and was hurt. So all this noise about, oh, Kyrie being healthy is, I just don't think that he can play a whole season. You know, I don't think that he can play a whole season. And guess what, people? He was out there. He was out there when they got their ass whooped. You know,
right.
they just got their ass kicked. Tell us what happened. I don't want the excuses or nothing. I just look at it as facts. They want a better team that game. And it looks like, just like you said, Fred, I don't care if it's them or the Spurs. Nah, I don't see a big victory coming. I didn't even see them block.
They got caught with a right hook, and for the rest of the game, they didn't even try and block.
Yeah, but I mean, you just look at that, and you just like you kind of. And you just put things in perspective, and you're just like, wow, what happened? The most you're talking about the Warriors, I mean, you look at the standards, and I think quiet as kept. The Spurs are 2 games behind them, and it's just like, whoa.
I know.
You look at that, and you're like, wait a minute, how?
See, the Spurs have always been like that. You know, they're this quiet team that nobody wants to pay attention to, but yet they just produce.
Mm-hmm.
They produce all the time. And it's like, if people say, oh, you're a LeBron hater. No, I respect LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I like LeBron. But I can only call what I see. It's the same type of team. Kevin Love is Chris Bosh, but with less attitude. Man can't find his way on the court. And now people are going to start to say is, you know, Chris, you took Love from this team where he was number one, putting up 27 points a game. Now he can't find his place on the court. Chris Bosh almost looked the same. Comes from Toronto, 27, 30 points a game almost.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't find his place on the court. Now, when people start talking about what do a player come in and do, does LeBron come in and make you change your game to where you look like you were never good? Like, because Kevin Love looked like he was never good.
I mean, you know, Prince, we definitely – that's definitely a good question to ask. Like, you wonder – you know, granted, I'm not going to take nothing from the ball. He's definitely a phenomenal player. But, I mean, look at it. I mean, Chris Bosh did say, you know, before the season last year, that, you know, Kevin Love, get ready because you're going to have to change your game. It's not going to be like how it was when you were that guy. And that's always what happens when these teams have the, you know, the quote-unquote 3 superstars. Someone's going to have to take that back. Someone's going to have to take that back seat.
Right.
Someone's going to have to take it.
They were talking about the big thing they were talking about, the difference is – Butler, as good as who's better, Butler or Kawhi Leonard?
Mm.
and, you know, and going back and forth and, you know, they're comparing stats, and Butler, I think, is a little bit ahead of him. But you just said the key point. You know, if Leonard would get more recognition if he was on a team where he had to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can Butler play how Leonard's playing and still produce? It's not so easy about just being out there and playing, and then you have to downplay your game and turn it up when you need to, and then digress mm-hmm. when you don't need it because you got Parker out there, you got Ginobili. So that's why I give Kawhi Leonard more credit than what people do, what I think sometimes people do, because he is talented.
First, I love Kawhi Leonard's game. It's just Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to come out every night and drop 20 points.
Right.
I love a player who can affect the game, and he doesn't have to score. That's what I love. And that's why, you know, that's why, like, sometimes I kind of look at, you know, someone like James Harden. It's like, for James Harden to really be successful, he has to score points. Because other than that, his defense ain't doing nothing. His defense ain't going to stop you. His defense ain't going to make a thing. But he, I mean, basically, I remember my friend, he had a running joke. He was like, top five offensive player in the league, but his defense is YMCA. You know that defense is, you know, that person that just running up the court, and it goes like, outlet, and it's like, dude.
Right.
He's
the dude at the ball court that don't come back down on defense. You make the defensive stop, and he's in the half court like, get right here. I get it. And of course you want to win the game because you want to still stay on the court and play the next five.
Yeah.
But you're looking at him like, dude, you just can't score.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play defense. And see, to me, he should have stayed in OKC. 22 years old.
But he had no choice, though.
Of course, he had a choice.
They traded him.
I know he went for the money, but he had a choice.
They asked him for it. He said that OKC came to him and said, "Yo, here's the decision." And before he came to make the decision, he was gone. So, I mean, I think OKC is trying to, you know, not lose him for nothing, even though they almost technically did. You know, they traded him. But, I mean, definitely, you know, I definitely brought up, you know, that as far as in the Cavs. And I just think when we look at the Western Conference, I think the Western Conference Finals is going to be the real NBA Finals. I don't even think the Cavs and the Spurs, I mean, the Warriors and the Spurs played each other yet. So I think they're going to play each other this year. I mean, you know, this calendar year. So it's definitely going to be exciting to see how those matchup goes and who ends up winning home court, because that may be a difference as far as who's going to be in the Eastern Conference, I mean, the Western in the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
I still think Cleveland can beat the East because there's just nobody really, really playing at even their level. But mm-hmm. if you go to the West, you have a few teams that
mm-hmm.
that will give them problems. I just believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe OKC at right now at Westbrook, after the confidence that Westbrook had from last year, and you see he's doing it now earlier in the season, I mean, he was like, I could actually play out here with him and we could both score.
Yep.
And I said that before, once he figures that out, they're going to be a problem. They just need the rest of their team to catch up. They probably need one more player. If Ibaka was the Ibaka of 5 years ago, they would be right up there competing, like, third. Clippers, I don't know what's wrong with them. Clippers always look good on paper, but they're just not good.
that's definitely what it is. They just look good on paper. And
Yeah, I mean, remember back in the days of Darius Miles, and they had a team that looked like, wow.
Yeah, they had a lot of young.
Yeah, a lot of young talent.
You look at them and say, wow. If this team was together in college, they win the national championship. They might go undefeated.
Right. Right. But anyways, we winded down the show. So we got the NFC championship game, AFC championship game, Patriots versus the Broncos. You have Arizona versus Cam Newton and the Panthers. See how I had to say that? When you good, it's like it's the Broncos against Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and the Patriots. Or it's really like it's the Broncos. I can even say it's Peyton Manning and the Broncos against Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots. That's how you announce it. And then it's Arizona against Cam Newton and the Panthers. Who are you going with, Arizona or the Panthers? What's your verdict?
I think that that's gonna be a tough game, but. I think that Carolina's going to come up on top. I think it's going to be a little closer with like 27-24. I think Carolina pulls away with that one.
27-24. I'm going with Carolina also. I think the defense is going to play a more impact on it. I'm looking at about 27-8. Carolina and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So you already know who I'm picking in the AFC.
First, let me run down to it. Let me kind of just like rush to it. But look at it. 10 AFC championships for Tom Brady, 5 in a row.
I don't care
if you hate him or whatever.
Right.
Anybody out there. You can't tell me that's not greatness.
No, it is. And the more people try and say that he's not the best quarterback of all time, it's just funny. And this is just like the predictions I had in the beginning of the season. I already predicted Patriots against the Panthers in the Super Bowl. You know, you guys should ride with me more often when I'm making these predictions.
And also, for that, I don't get the rhetoric of all, you know, Peyton gets one more and he gets be considered the greatest. And I'm just like, dude, Tom Brady just won his fourth last year. Like, why do we keep talking about this? Like, just let it go. The discussion, the argument of him and Brady's just been over. It's been done with. It's done. You can't talk about it. It's been past him. But, you know, going on to the AFC Championship game, I look at it, I see, you know, the Patriots winning. You know, I mean, I don't want to judge the Broncos solely on last week's game, but I just look at it. If Antonio Brown was healthy, they lose that game. They was carving them up. You know, the Broncos had great field position, but they wasn't kicking field goals. And what you say earlier, friend, you can't beat a team like the Patriots kicking field goals. Because all you got to do is, you know, the Patriots kick, you know, they score 3 touchdowns and a field goal win that game. So you can't. The thing with the Broncos is that you can't kick field goals. If you get into that, you know, you get inside that 10 in that red zone, you got to punch it in. Because if you kick your field goals while that's going touchdowns, it's going to be a long afternoon for you.
Exactly. And that's what I think is going to happen. I just don't think they're going to be able to, you know, do what they need to do to win the game. And so that's why I look at it's going to be the Patriots.
You think that if they get 14, third quarter, they're down by 14, do you think if they switch and bench Manning?
What's the difference? Osweiler still can't do it. So you're banking on they're going to be losing because of poor performance from Peyton Manning or just Bill Belichick knows how to prepare for a team.
I mean, you know that they're limited as far as in their offense and the way to push the ball down the field because, you know, Peyton Manning can't throw the ball, you know, as effective.
Well, Brock Wilder wasn't throwing it either. That's why he got benched deep. Benched too. Once you get tape on somebody, you know what happens. You know, and their core receivers, besides Sanders, they have tendencies to not being able to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so what are you going to do, bench them too? I just don't think he's going to bench him. I think he will ride this out, and that would be the end of his career.
I mean, definitely, we heard it here first, but definitely recap these games. And we have 3 games left in the season. We don't count the bowl. We don't count that Pro Bowl.
No.
So we have 3 games left in this football season. It's going to be a wrap on the 2015 football season. For tuning in, we can't wait for Sunday. Definitely see y'all later. We out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, yeah, yo, moon la la, yeah, yo, bitch, where I have my money, y'all should know me well enough, bitch, where I have my money, please don't call me on my blood, pay me what you want it, ballin' bigger than LeBron, bitch, give me your money. Who y'all think y'all frontin' on? Like, blah, blah, blah.